to welcome you to the 2 p.m. session this day, which is Religion and the Future of Conservatism. I want to bestow my bottomless thanks on Stan Evans for the greatest warm-up act in the history of the Philadelphia Society. And then next, I want to introduce myself. I am Bill Murchison. It's pronounced Murchison. It's spelled Murchison. And in the fast food line, I'm known as Smith. I'm Radford Professor of Journalism at Baylor University, the world's largest Baptist university, for about another month. When I retire from an invigorating five-year gig and attempt to stave off decrepitude by full-time writing, lecturing, and general exhorting. But the topic being religion, you may wonder why a known Episcopalian is functioning as your chairman today, whether the Episcopal Church of the 21st century has much to do with religion is what I think you might call an open question. Like you know, if Dick Cheney and Harry Reid are sitting next to each other on a park bench, who gets credit for setting off the IED? Actually, I owe my presence here to a fellow Episcopalian, our secretary, Archbishop Campbell, who consecrated me for this good work and is keeping tabs this afternoon for hints of heresy, at least according to Philadelphia Society doctrine. Don't despair, the company gets better from this point. We all understand the intimate connection between conservatism and religion. Keep the tradition, the future St. Paul said to the future St. Timothy, more or less, anticipating Russell Kirk by about 2 millennia. Naturally, in a pluralistic democracy, things can get a little messy. I've lately seen TV commercials that trumpet Smith and Walensky's claim that if steak were a religion, you'd know where to find the temple. All right. True, the Eucharist might have a slightly higher cholesterol count than you normally would expect. Here today to clear things up for us are three distinguished thinkers about religion and its place in culture and our affairs. First, Dr. Daryl Hart. He's director of Partnered Projects. He wants you to ask him at coffee break what that's all about at Ken Cribb's shop, the ISI. He's a former dean of academic affairs and church history at Westminster Seminary in California and the author of several books bearing on his subject today, which is Last Dance, The Future of the Religious Right and American Conservatism. Dance. That got my attention. They can do that at Baylor now. A sign that the rapture might not be as far off as we sometimes think. Robbie George is widely known to have the most complicated title you're likely to run across even at a high-class joint like the Philadelphia Society. He is, I pause for breath, McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence and Director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions at Princeton University. Whew. And I might add, a prodigious and fruitful scholar of the interactions between religion and culture. He also serves to no doubt the immense gratitude of everyone in this room on the President's Council on Bioethics. To paraphrase Rick in Casablanca, talking about Victor Laszlo, who'd stolen his girlfriend, one hears of Robbie George everywhere. His topic today natural law, God, and the common good. Robert Royal, president of that prestigious and prolific think tank, the Faith and Reason Institute, based in Washington, D.C., wants to cheer us up a bit, a fitting project for the panel speaker. His topic, the soul of man under secularism. The secularists spell that S-O-L-E, something you scrape on the sidewalk as you make your way to the ACLU meeting. Dr. Royal knows better. He's been critiquing these matters for a long time. In his latest book, The God That Did Not Fail, he notes that three centuries of debunking, I quote, three centuries of debunking, skepticism, criticism, and scorn by some among us, wonder who that might be, or contributing to, quote, religious renewal, unquote. Take that, Professor Dawkins. Gentlemen, you come at a prestigious time, a propitious time. Looking back on it, we or our children may find themselves saying, that was the Lord's hand. Yes, the Lord's hand indeed. Our speakers have 20 minutes each, followed by your questions. Dr. Hart leads off.
My thanks.